I got you, man. I believe in you. That's why I'm telling you this
stuff. I don't want you to believe in me no more. Because your belief is divorce kind of belief.
It's the only, look.
Your belief is so demoralizing.
So you know me, man. I'm not going to. So demoralizing. Listen, man. Listen. I just don't want you walking into this new life with these new pea coats and everybody enjoying you. And y'all nobody keeping real with you. I've been waiting my whole life for this one moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back at it again with the white mans. My man, Dan Duncan.
What's David. Up?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
How are you doing? How are you doing? You doing good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Straight. Okay. My man, David Perdue.
What up?
All right. Doing good. All right. And I am Show Baraka. Adon is not here today.
That was a good Adon you were trying to
do. This is like a super NPR moment for us that we've never had before.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We're going to make it work.
David's gonna mess it up somehow. He's gonna take it from non-professional.
I think I'm just intimidated by your wardrobe.
Yo,
you're just looking for a way to bring that up.
Absolutely, because it needed to be brought up.
First of all, you act like you've never seen me dressed like this before, Dan. Please.
Here's the thing. Most times,
you were straight up American gangster when you walked in my house tonight.
Like, I wanted to drop that line. You know, the loudest one in the room.
like. Our studio runs very casual, and you walked in like I had something. I missed a notice or something.
He got on real shoes, bro.
Like, you dropped an album and got nice on us.
Not,
GQ.
Definitely not the album because I have yet to see any money from that. But what it is that I just dress like this. Okay. Occasion. And I will say that
you
I had
good.
Something to do.
Don't feel bad.
We're not saying.
I'm not. Look, first of all, you do not have to tell me that I'm good. I know this. What I'm trying to figure out is the shock in you guys is if
it was a
I think
very,
it's a jacket. I think it's a
it
jacket.
It was a jacket.
If I would have just walked in like this, I don't think y'all would have said it.
No, but
you know, honestly, because you normally do like just a black on black thing.
Yeah.
And then that pop of color with the jacket, we was like, hold on, wait a minute.
So Show walked into the studio with a very nice brown.
It was like burnt orange. Is that it? A little bit?
No, it's not burnt orange.
What is that?
It's brown. It's
like brown. Yeah, it is brown.
Like khaki, dark khaki.
Dark khaki, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Very nice coat.
Looked great.
Thank you. With the scarf.
Thank you.
But that's not.
Scarf is me and Adon. I'm still battling Adon for the scarf.
I just didn't. Was it like a New Year's resolution? Like I'm gonna buy a power jacket.
Nah, that jacket I purchased that like before it got cold.
Okay,
that's smart. You got to purchase it before it's cold, so you know
do.
You get the
get a good
price.
Deal.
Yeah,
get that good deal.
Yeah, I'm a jack. So there's a couple things, and I'm gonna put this out there.
Okay,
first let me say that I give a lot of money to people.
Whatever you want to say next is about to be great.
That's to assuage my guilt.
Okay.
Just all right. I like to give. I support missionaries. I support churches. But there's a couple of things that if I was to go broke, it's not gonna be because I buy cars and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I buy jackets and shoes. Those are the things that I love. Jackets and shoes. And it's a problem sometimes. And I have to really. So if there's any generous listener out there, there's a site called Taft, TAFT.
Okay.
Ooh.
Taft.
Are they going to pay us for this plug?
You know what? Maybe we should reach out to
Taft.com.
If there's anybody who's out there who's generous,
this episode of Off the Record is brought to you by Taft.com.
There you go. I don't know if it's Taft.com. It may be Taft Clothing, but whatever it is, it doesn't matter. That's my next victim right there. The shoes on those site. That site. I'm coming for them.
Taft.
So, but other than that, yo, thank you for trying to mock me for.
No one's mocking you.
Deciding to.
We're in hoodies and t-shirts and
I'll
jeans.
Also say this though. I did have a video shoot before this. So
just say that.
But no.
There you go.
But I'm saying as I dress like this all the time though.
Okay.
The star,
not a video shoot.
No,
it wasn't a video shoot. It was just I did a how to tie a bow tie. So I didn't even wear the jacket. Or you couldn't see my shoes. It was just
okay.
So it's a how to tie a bow tie video.
With your signature bow tie.
With my bow ties. That
y'all need to check that bow tie out.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, you do.
I do like bow ties.
Where can they get that? Is that Humble Beast?
Yeah, Humble Beast. And I think I'm gonna try to sell them on 4th District.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you a picture so we can put them up.
All right.
On 4th District. Humblebeast.com is on there, and then it's handmade. So they're really? Actually, yeah. So they're actually
in Indonesia or in America?
No, in America, Denton, Texas.
Okay.
My homegirl in Denton, Texas made them.
Okay.
We printed the fabric, sent it to her. She sewed them jokers together with her hands. She's amazing.
Okay. What's her name?
Whitney Bracey.
Whitney Bracey. Bracey. Shout out to Whitney.
I wonder if she did a, no, she never did an interview. She was supposed to do it. And Tanika was supposed to do an interview with her because she was featured in a couple of magazines for some swimwear she did for women of color. And
dope.
Like to skin tone swimwear. It was pretty interesting. But and Tanika was going to interview her for 4th District. But I don't think it ever happened. But yeah, she's doing some dope stuff.
Okay.
Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New
Year. We're starting it off strong.
2017, be excellent.
We in here. And
you know that song? Do you know that song?
Yes. Stop acting like I don't listen to your music.
No one knows what you're all talking about because all of this got cut out of pre-show. All
right. Well, I'll let them in. Show trying to throw me under the bus because if you were at Show's event here in Atlanta, I performed and then I had to leave to go because I'm a struggling artist. I can't sell out the center stage or anything like that. So I had to go to try to win some more money at this competition, which for full disclosure, I did not win. So I ended up making no money. So I don't feel good about it. But he thinks that I didn't hear any of the performance and I did. I heard at least two, maybe three songs.
You didn't hear three songs. You definitely didn't hear three songs.
I heard two.
But I was trying to give this brother a compliment. First of all, Dave is, his form of encouragement is the most depressing form of encouragement. I've never been more depressed by encouragement in my life, but I'll just accept whatever.
But I mean it.
Or whatever. It's this demoralizing, is degrading, but if that's what you call encouragement, great. So I was actually telling Dave, like a lot of people who came to the show who send me messages or call me some personal friends, they're like, man, first of all, we had a similar feeling. Like, I'm always frustrated with people who are like overly shocked by how well I do on the stage.
It's
they're like,
the worst.
They're like, bro, I didn't know it was going to be that good. It's like, what do you think? Do you think I'm like some just slouch or something? Anyway, so a lot of people were like telling me how good they thought the show was. But one of the other highs, if there was any other compliments, I mean, well, there were two other things that people brought up during the show apart from me, and it was how well Dave did, how he killed it.
Appreciate
and
that.
And a song Courtney Orlando did called Black Gold.
I'm waiting for that to drop.
Yeah, that drum was amazing.
Do you know when that's going to drop?
He's doing an EP, so okay. It's going to be on his EP. But cool. Dave, you killed it, bro.
Like, I appreciate that, man.
I don't know where I was, and people were referencing your joke about... It was a group of friends. I was with a group of friends, and they was like, "Yo, like Dave said on stage, like,
hey,
like the huddle." Oh, my wife! My wife was talking about the like getting the huddle. Yeah, like, ready, set, go. He's like, "Hold up, y'all,
that wasn't the play."
Yeah, and so that's hilarious. And then the other thing, every time I juice, I think about you now.
Oh yeah,
I hate you, and so
I hate me too for that one. Listen, I was focused that day.
I said it
before on 4 from 10,
and you had the drink in your hand. I appreciate that
because.
Was it liquor in there, though?
It was. Okay. I had some kind of mule or something, Russian mule or something like that. Little.
I hate the fact that I had to appreciate that you have alcohol on your stage, but liberating.
I was going to do me. You know, I was going to do me. And then, like I said, I was focused because we said it on a previous episode of 4 to 10. I saw Maya Moore in the crowd, and I just focused. I focused.
I didn't even know she was there until after the show.
I knew before.
Or
somebody, she
a fan, but like I didn't know she was even in Atlanta. Like, so she tweeted me after the show, was like, "Yo, dope show," and I was like, "You were there?"
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh snap,
man,
Maya Moore."
I was fucking.
She didn't have to pay for
the
ticket.
The female Jordan.
She did. Yeah.
She, I would have gave it for free, for real, for real.
Yeah. So I was focused. I saw her in the back, and I just like I focused. I was like, "Is she single?
What's up?
Huh?
Is she single?
I don't know. Listen, I just like greatness." You know what I'm saying? She great.
So you didn't focus on me is what you're saying. All right, cool.
Would I?
Because I'm great.
Everyone did really dope at your show.
It was good.
No, it was dope. It was a good show, top to bottom. Other than the fact that there was a little delay in the audio, but other than that.
I definitely watched you perform. Because here's what I remember. You're going to hate me for this. It's going to be one of those things like, backhanded compliment again. But I will say this. There was a moment because I hadn't seen. Think about how many times I've actually probably seen you perform.
Probably Impact.
Less than five.
I don't remember the last time. I can't even remember any of them.
Right.
I remember Impact maybe like 2008 or 9.
One of those, right? What I'm saying is I remember being back there And I was like, yo, he's like performing. But it's not like a surprise thing because I know you perform, but I just hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
I remember having a feeling like, yo, he's giving them a show. Yeah. They didn't pay enough for this. I remember thinking that, and now then I had to go.
I had a couple people say that too, and I was like, you know what? Next time it will
next
go
time,
up.
Next time, yeah, I'm about to say. The prices will price go gotta up. Go up. So I did watch the two.
I overpaid
maybe
that
two
band, I tell you that.
But they was killing it too.
It was amazing. No, I'm saying it was amazing.
Yeah. You gotta pay for excellence, man. Nah, you do. Invest in yourself.
That's the real, and that's the reality. And I lost money at the event, tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Really?
I lost money. But it's well worth it because all of it was filmed. And so
okay,
we're gonna use the video. We're gonna use
you know,
dope.
It was a good experience. I appreciate it. So and yeah. I got some new followers.
I got your
off of
footage too. You're not gonna see it though.
Why not?
Because you left early.
No, on some real. I need that tape.
No, you're not gonna see
don't
it.
Nobody give me my tape. This
it's
whole 2016.
Is this? Do you want to get paid or
no,
do you?
I'll give me the money. I get another tape. Got to pay me.
That's what I'm saying.
Tape for two guys to
and
get
I'm,
paid.
I'm delaying that payment too,
man. You know I know where you live.
Well, we're running like net 60 between friends now. Like,
I know.
I get you in 2 months.
Exactly. Yeah. Until you come see my performance, that's when you.
Where are you performing next?
I'm in Atlanta. Not. I don't know, but I'm gonna try to do another show.
You're doing a tour,
this.
Right?
Yeah, we're gonna try to do
yeah,
a
opener.
A
what's
night
up?
With Show Baraka.
Put you on the spot.
I can't afford to bring you, bro. You're too expensive.
No, I'm listen. It's about to go up. That's tell you about the. I'm plug myself real quick. About to be Crave Loafing people to watch 2017.
Oh, what?
Turn
yeah,
up.
I'm at the.
You need to tell
Fort District
me.
Get a shout out in this article.
They should. I definitely shouted out like 4th and 10. Yeah, I definitely shout out 4th and 10.
You got to, bro.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know what they'll use. Again, I've been a victim of editing before. If you follow
absolutely
my career,
oh,
so I don't know what they'll use, but I am.
If you follow my career,
if you follow my career, right? No, but no.
2016 was the year of the edit for Damon.
It was the year to edit. 2017, I don't know. I call it shoot my shot. This year, I shoot my shot. I'm going for it.
You
I
might make
around
some t-shirts from
shoot your shot.
Shoot your shot.
Shoot your shot. Hashtag shoot your shot 2017. Anyway, if you're in Atlanta, Creative Loafing, I think comes out Thursday. I'm one of the people to watch 2017. You know what?
How many people? If it's like 50, then it's not.
I don't know.
But
come
if
on
it's like 20,
trying to be like,
nah,
me.
I'm gonna hate you. I'm hating. I'm trying to figure out how to like to crush this moment for you.
No, because
if there's like 25 or under,
yeah,
it's worth it. If it's like 10, my man.
I think it is.
But if it's
never
over,
like
if it's
lot
over 25, don't even.
Fair
grab
enough.
The paper.
I don't know how many people it is, but I know I got an interview, so I appreciate an interview. 50 people.
Hey, all I know is Corin. Shout out to Corin.
Shout out to Corin.
30 under 30 for Forbes. That means
that's huge. That's better
huge
than my thing.
That's how we do it at 4th.
Yeah,
we take is no credit for any of the award.
It's a bittersweet. Like I'm very proud of. I've never met her. I'm very proud of her. But it's a very bittersweet thing because, like, I found out recently that, like, just through, like, social media that, like, me and her went to the same church. And I, growing up,
you was like, man, I could have dated her.
Did
but
you go to, like, a huge church?
No. It wasn't that big. It was over at East Point, Fellowship of Faith Church. Okay. So I had made a joke one time that I was the third most famous person at that church. Then she gets this, and I definitely get bumped down.
So Dwight Howard went to that church, right?
Dwight Howard went to that
that's
church.
That's right, yeah.
CeeLo went to that church.
Oh, yeah, so you definitely
I'm
like,
4th now.
You like that.
Yeah.
You're not even the most favorite David in your church, probably.
No, I don't know about that.
David, there's probably another David in your church.
They ain't got no TV credits, though. You're not going to steal my joy. Show trying
that's
to try to be
goal
me
today, bro. That's
not
my
gonna
goal
work
today.
And, so, he does this. This was funny.
Y'all got some serious brother, like, brother relationship.
No, because I
want
to. Maybe. I love Joe, but I see what he's trying to do right now. And but the
hey,
thing
you know
is,
who's taking your place? Your boy Tyreek is becoming my. Yo, Tyreek is. He's somebody who encourages and loves on me, man. I
he
like
does.
So shout out to Tyreek. He came to the show, him and his wife in the front.
They were.
That's when you know, when you got friends in the front,
yeah,
that's support. All my other friends was in the back sitting down. They was enjoying it from the back.
It was.
But they was like in the front. That's why I'm, yo.
Don't get it twisted. They came to see me. Just be.
if you saw me jumping up and down in the front of your concert, that would be weird for
you. That would be weird. If I saw you jumping up and down, period, I would be like, that. He's high. I'd be like, did he drink too much scotch? What's happening right now? Allison would be grabbing your shirt like Dan.
Don't control yourself.
Don't do it.
So anyway,
but yeah, shout out to Corin. That was
I almost
dope
jumped in the line that you had going.
Oh, the Soul Train line.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
I was this close.
I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, I know you didn't, and that's how I know you weren't there that long because that was like the 4th song.
I told you I didn't get the 4th.
That was the 3rd song.
So did y'all make any New Year's resolutions?
I told you get more famous.
Which is if you're gonna be Creative Loafing's list of who to watch 2017, you have accomplished.
I've done it already. I don't know if that reaches as many people as Comedy Central.
You go to Comedy Central.
No, I don't want to. I'll put it out there. I definitely want a late night spot.
So, like, when you think of your goals realistically, mm-hmm. like, how do you think through, like, all right, by the end of 2017, man, this is my goal.
How do I think through it? I mean, fortunately, I think what's good, anybody who's listening with goals, put your goals out there with other people. Mm-hmm. Like, I put mine out with Damon on and Nathan on 4th and 10, if you listen to that. And we wrote out comedy goals. And Damon been doing this since we started. Even when he was in China, he was writing out goals. Because, you know, Damon, he's real organized.
Damon's the most motivating person I've ever met in my life.
Yeah. Right. People, like, y'all think I'm high right now. Wait about 5, when, like, the world catches up, I'm like, I'm going to be holding on those coattails. Because he killing it. But, no, I think right now goals, for me, last year was, like, I didn't know goals. Like, they just kind of came out of nowhere and had to figure them out. And, like, oh, this is a good goal. So now I'm like, oh, okay, that's what's out there. People are paying attention. Okay, now I can put real things out there and then put under it. Like, this is how I should be able to get there.
Yeah.
You know, so whether it's like, so if I say I want a late night set, then I got to start working on a late night set to submit to people and figure out who to submit to. Because, like, my name out there,
which is
amazing, because I didn't think that was gonna happen. You know, my name out there now. It's just like, all right, now I gotta. That's why I shoot your shot, because you gotta make people pay attention.
It's all about momentum.
Momentum, man. I'm coming in, man. Look, I'm trying to put the heat on people, bro.
Do it.
I'm trying to.
Speaking of momentum, you got an album.
I do.
And then there are rumors of other publications to come.
Yes, there are rumors.
Yo, can we spread those rumors?
No, not right now.
He slid that real quick.
But yeah, so my I don't really have New Year's resolutions. I just have benchmarks of things that I want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And
like what?
Did Fort District make the list?
Yes.
Okay.
And
good.
That's a good question.
I share
with you, and it's gonna roll out.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. I got 3 to 4 things that I know that I want to do this year.
Sweet.
And that's one of them. And so there's 2 business ventures that I'm attempting to start. I'm wanting to travel, take a significant time to travel around Africa.
Ooh.
Because
are you going to have like a moment, like back to yourself moment kind of thing?
There's that. And it's also an academic intellectual component to it as well, that I'm researching and studying and hypothesizing on something in particular that at the end of it, I, you know, hope it will be put in one of my 4th
things
goals that
are you like on some Hebrew Israelite kind of stuff now?
Almost.
Okay.
Kind of close to that, but not quite.
Okay.
I love how you. I don't think it's a bad theory.
No, I don't think it's a bad theory either, but it's not quite that, okay. But it's close to that.
You're a teetering brother. I like that. He's like, close that way.
I'm always, that's the thing. I don't want to fully commit to anything.
Yeah. anything you fully. Or should I say we even
noticed? I'm sorry, to a ideology or a philosophy.
I got you.
Jerk. But yes, there are philosophies and ideologies. Because this is my thing, when I read stuff, I'm like, man, this is great. But I know that there's ideas and there's opposing thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't have the time to read every opposing thought. So that's why I'm just like, I don't want to marry a thought. And then 2 years later, I'm like, this is ridiculously wrong. So,
you know what? That's why I mess with that though.
Yeah.
I like that. Like especially now, like how like things are, people are so like, I only think like this, or I only believe, you need people like, let's put all the things together,
mm-hmm.
and then let's be pragmatic about this. Let's not be dumb, mm-hmm. you know. So I can appreciate that. I would say I somewhat aligned with that so, way of thinking.
That's where I am.
You know, we've had the chance to prototype a bunch of stuff at 4th, and I think we got some new stuff coming. So people should pay attention. I think Isaac Dietz is bringing back Film Rant. That's one of the
Well, look at Isaac Dietz and Film Rant.
He's going to be bringing that back. That's one of the
Are you going to be on that too? Is that going to be one of the 18 podcast shows?
No, I'm not on that. I'm limiting my podcast ventures, trying to focus.
There we go.
Just the key words of 2017. No, honestly, this one's like superficial. This year is a very superficial 2017 goal for me. So in 20, I looked back at Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as one seems to do when they have too much time over the Christmas holiday. And I was like, man, I was super fat from like 2014 to like 2016. I gained a lot of weight and no one loved me. I didn't have a David in my life at the time. She'd be like, Dan, you fat.
Just know David would never say that.
Because you're David, not fat. That's why.
David would say, join the crew.
So in 2016, I lost about 10 pounds.
Uh-huh. Okay, congrats.
And
congrats.
So, and you know, I would love to lose another 10 pounds in 2017. And get back. So that was the way. So I climbed Mount Rainier. I graduated college. I climbed Mount Rainier. I went on like a 3-week road trip right after I graduated college and did this incredibly hard climb. And that was probably the best shape of my life. And so I'm just kind of goal get back to that.
That's what's up.
That shape.
Dope. Well, that's another thing that I'm in part two. Like, I'm trying to get to the point where I can get like to 180.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably like a 200 right now. Okay. So yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't see that as like, that's not shallow in any ways.
No, I feel better. Like, I feel like, yeah, it's less, it's not even necessarily like looks. It's more of like, man, I feel like I can play, yeah, sports again. Like, healthy, I think, bro. There was, for those that don't know, for a long time I was an editor and I sat behind a computer many, many, many hours. And so coming out of that, I found new lease on kind of being active and being healthy, and so it's been good.
Yeah, do it, man. I've been working out pretty consistent, and now that I have a workout partner, that's actually helped too.
It's so dumb, man, because there's days that you're just like,
absolutely,
I do not want to do this mess.
Absolutely.
I drove by the gym today. I kid you not.
Yeah,
I drove by the gym and then I pulled in and I sat in the car and I was like, you know, we have Off the Record tonight. I probably should be like doing some reading. I sat in the car and read a few articles. Like, maybe I should go home. I don't have quite enough time. And I was like, Dan, get your ass out of the car and go do something with your life.
There you go. That's how you do it, sir. I'll tell you one of the things that helped me out. And I don't know where you work out, but LA Fitness, I go to LA Fitness and they do these spin classes on the bike. And I'm more like 9:15 almost every day. Now that I have a workout partner, I only do it 3 times a week though. But 9:15 Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I'm on that joker. I'm on them spin classes, and it works me to death.
Dude, people look like they're dying in those classes,
and it's awesome. At first, I had it like, I was very skeptical. I was like, "Yo, brother, up in here, kind of suspect." But I was like, you know what? When I realized how hard it is, I was like, "Yo, reason why brothers ain't in here."
I just hoop.
Exactly. I'm just gonna lift these weights real quick. Like, nah.
I had dying making weird noises.
And it's also, so it's scheduled, right? I don't have to, like, I know it's gonna be there. I show up, do
know
it.
Know when you're gonna leave.
And know when I'm gonna leave. So it's easy and it's dope because it just makes my schedule for me.
I'm gonna have to join y'all this year and working out.
Hey,
like,
bro,
a couple
do it.
Times. Well, I only say that because like I'm getting older. Like, I woke up 2 days ago, hurt, and I didn't do anything.
You didn't work out another.
I woke out and my knee was like, "We gonna be off for 2 days." So I was like, "Cool, well, you know, it's holiday season. Great." I ain't had no shows lined up. I had to put my feet up the whole time. I'm sitting there. I was like, "When did this happen?" Like, I'm like, "When did an angry figure skater beat me up?" Like, when did this happen? And I couldn't pinpoint any real event.
No crowbar, no nothing.
2 days, no crowbar, nothing. 2 days, legs up. Had all types of ointments on my legs and stuff. And I was like, this is not my life. I never was like the dude that's like, I'm gonna hit the gym, but I always like play a sport a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, this is not good. So I'm just trying to get to play a sport a little bit.
It was happening, bro. The older you get, that's gonna start happening more.
It tricks me, man, because my face has been looking the same since I was 15.
You're right.
So it's like, man, I'm still eating. It's like, anybody's like, oh, up there you might look it. But them knees, it's like, hey, we ready to give up.
Yep.
Bro, I was looking at the latest 4th and 10, and there's always an author on all the articles. And like, your profile picture was like on the article, and I was like, Dave without a fro.
Yeah,
I like you with the fro, bro.
I like the fro too, man. Everybody want to fight me with it. It's becoming like a lot.
But that's not really a fro, but I mean, yeah.
There's a fro happening.
Yeah,
I mean, it's shaved on the sides.
What do you dig it?
Yeah. So, like, it's not currently not twisted up like yours.
I'm not asking you to critique my hair right now.
I'm not, but
I'm
saying.
I'm just saying that you don't have a fro. You don't
what would you call this?
This is amazing.
It's just the top. It's a flat top.
It's a very loose flat top.
Fro top. Let's go with fro
top. All right, fro top. It's a fro top. I like it, though. I like it. It was something about having having my hair on my head. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And like not shaving it every 2 weeks or whatever. I don't know. I like that. Also, I just like man walking around with an afro pick in my head on stage.
I hear you, brother.
It just does stuff. Somebody said, "Is that a black? Is that like a black power fist? Is that like a symbolize something?" And it was when it was twisted up, and mm-hmm. I was like, "Well, actually, it is a symbol, right?" Yeah. Now I said, if I actually needed the pick, then you know what I mean. Like if I needed the pick, then it's just it's functional.
Yeah.
But I didn't need it in my head at the time. I just wanted to scare white people that I was around, and I think I was effective.
I think the first time I saw it, I asked you that question.
Yeah. Well, see, well, yeah, but at the time, I probably was picking it out.
Well, I didn't realize because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like, do all picks have a fist
no,
on?
No, not all of them. Not all of them do.
But the ones that mean something.
I think they got
it. Yeah. It still blows my mind that Questlove is on your TV every day.
Afro pick with an
afro pick and a fist. Like to me, that blows my mind every time I think about it.
Hey.
Still out here doing it. No one's saying anything.
It's because it's, you know, liberals.
You know who is saying like something? Donald Trump. Flawless transition.
Flawless.
But this tweet was something I had to say and we had to talk about this episode. Donald Trump's tweet on New Year's to everyone. Happy New Year. This is the President of the United States, y'all. Happy New Year to all, including to my many enemies and those who have fought me and lost so badly they don't know what to do. Love! Exclamation point. This man,
petty king.
That dude is we gotta endure for it's one of those situations where you can't. It's like the dude that you hated and like they just won a championship and you just can't do nothing about it. Like in high school it's just like he talked trash, we just knew we were gonna beat him. But we didn't.
And he found a way.
And so we gotta deal with it. It's just like what are you gonna say?
This
you
is a good lesson. Like this is, all right, in hindsight, like I can say this now. I don't know if I mean it, but I have to mean it because there's nothing we can do. This could be good for us. We got, there's a lot of lessons to be learned.
Everybody's looking for the like.
We gotta find the lessons to be learned from this. I think one of them is this is something I've thought about a little bit. I think one of the lessons people need to learn is, and this is very contrary to stuff that like the people that I hang around, mm-hmm. but like the idea of like people in these bubbles, mm-hmm. right? So I'm constantly talking to comedians all across the country, right? And one of the things that's blowing my mind is you hear people on the West Coast or in Northeast, like in New York, and they're talking about how hard it is to do comedy. And I'm like, do it down here.
You know how hard it is because of Trump.
Like, mm-hmm. it's a lot they have to deal with, and like, you know, like the weight of society. And I'm like, yeah, okay, but you ain't got no Trump supporters in your audience.
Yeah.
Like, not I got Trump supporters in my audience who have said some things after shows, and I've had to deal with, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, so I don't want to hear about just struggle on out there in LA where you can go get your smoothie after the set. And I'm, you know what I mean? Like I'm out here fighting biscuit throwing bubbles. You know what I'm saying?
Biscuit throwing bubbles. Okay.
You know, well, like, I was saying that to say, I think it's good. I think what I'm doing now, and this is just me on my high horse right now. Uh-huh. But I think part of my comedy now is more important than it ever has been because I am in these spaces.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And like to where people were not necessarily hearing or don't have to hear, or they can be more vocal about what they like. And I can be a voice like, all right, well, this is what I think, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It kind of bubbles in safe spaces bother me.
Absolutely.
And I say that while I'm wearing an HBCU hoodie, which is the ultimate safe space.
No, it's not the ultimate safe space.
It is, but I think it's an ideal safe space. I'm obviously not against HBCU.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, I think more the idea of safe spaces, the way people are thinking about it, I think it should be constructed more how HBCUs are, which is like, here's your safe space for a limited time.
Right.
As we prepare you to go out there and not be so safe.
Got you.
And, you know, and I feel like the way people have adopted safe spaces now, it's like you come here, everybody thinks the same and you don't have to leave. And anybody that's not in your safe space,
right,
they're not good people.
Exactly.
You know, like we're in a time where I think there's going to be a lot of, it should be a lot of critical thinking.
Right.
It should be a lot of people like kind of looking at like certain hypocrisies that are out there and just kind of holding people up to the mirror. So like that's my little silver lining to all of this.
A lot of what you said is good. It's genuine. I mean, would say genius, but
you can't. It's all right.
It's close to good stuff. The only critique, and I do think your more thoughtful assessment of HBCUs is good, but I would also say the only reason why I would push back on that is that the reason why HBCUs were created, well, and yes, per your definition, it is a safe space, but it was created because there was no other
safe space. Obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it's a safe space in the technical definition of how people use this idea of safe space. Like, well, we're creating this because we want to know. It's like we're forced to do this because we're not allowed in other areas of society.
I agree with it.
But yes, I know you can't. You have to agree with it.
So yeah. Have you...
But...
Are safe spaces a real thing? Because I hear them thrown around. Like, hey, they don't... Kids...
Yes, it's a literal...
There are literal places that like are quote-unquote safe places.
Colleges nowadays are safe spaces.
What does that mean, though?
So like if...
Like, I'm not talking about HBCU. I understand in the context of like an HBCU, but
yeah, if I go to a college, and so a lot of how this was created, you think about in Europe. So Europe, it actually started in, and I think it was either France, but somewhere in Europe where, they wanted to censor like anti fill in the blank rhetoric. And so what they would do is they would say, this is a safe space. And if you communicate this, there's going to be some sort of penalty or some sort of assault, a consequence for your particular actions.
So it's like a backdoor to limit speech.
Right, exactly. So now what you have is in a lot of colleges and it happens both ways. It goes for people who are liberal, it goes against people who are conservative, whatever. If there's a particular predominant thought on campus, and if people feel like your language is offensive to us, then what they do is they report that as a violation or some sort of prejudice. I forget the technical term, but, and it goes against this idea of college and universities as a safe space for these college students. And it gets crazy. Like, so I've heard, I remember during the time of police brutality, there were police officers who were armed walking around campus. And so students would be like, I don't feel like this is a safe space because there's a police officer on campus. And I'm like, come on now.
Well, you could be a lot.
Please send all the police officers away and let me know which car you're walking in over to.
So I'm like, there's got to be limits. And all like, so for instance, there were like during Halloween last year, there were there are certain students who dress up as ethnicities or nationalities and they get reprimanded for that. Because the students complain, as they say. So there's variations of that different.
So those students should be reprimanded because they're dumb,
right? So I'm saying, in some senses it's good, in some senses it's. But see, this is the thing with most regulations and laws, or you know, bylaws on universities, is that they, when taken to the fullest extent, like the context of it or the letter of it, is not healthy, right?
Yeah, and I guess like for me, safe spaces again, not in the sense of like an HBCU. Where I have way less problems with it when it deals with minorities, of people that are not part of the majority culture. But I have a huge issue with it when it's someone who they can virtually say what they want anywhere and they're not going to face consequences, but you still need a safe space. Like, I just don't, it's like, I'd rather someone say exactly how they feel so I know how they feel, even if I completely disagree with them.
Absolutely.
Even if they're completely racist and completely bigoted, I'd rather know that than
I'll take it
pretend
a step further.
Yeah. that there aren't just crazy racist undertones in our culture.
I'll take it a step further. Not only do I agree with you, I actually feel like it's necessary for our culture to allow for people, because the moment we begin to over censor folks, then everything becomes censored. So like,
yes.
There's no telling when you start to censor me or you bring out some sort of sedition on what I can say. Mm-hmm. But not only that, I think it helps, it makes us more intelligent people. Mm. Because if we squash every opposing thought or opposing view, then we don't know how to manage the tension and conflict in our country. And so you become a very docile, single, simple-minded people. And this is how, and real quickly, this is why our political landscape is so frustrating today, is because I don't need to engage, if I'm a conservative, I don't need to engage liberals if all I do is want to watch Fox News. Vice versa.
Yes.
If I'm liberal, all I want to do is watch MSNBC. I don't need to engage Fox. And what you do is you create these polarizing views that are oftentimes on both sides ridiculous in their commentary. Mm-hmm. And very likely, like very seldomly are they going to be balanced. And so CNN, you know, and there's other outlets where there's some balance. And when they try to put two opposing views on a platform, mm-hmm. even those polarizing views sometimes are like, ah. But And I think this is the world. This is how we got in the mess we're in now, because you have culture wars and people are so caught up in trying to win their culture wars that they're so, that they stick so closely to the side without having their opposing. And that's why earlier when I talked about philosophy, philosophy and ideology, it's like, man, I'm always willing to hear an opposing view because I may be wrong on this issue.
Yeah, that's I think the biggest. One of the biggest issues is that you said the key word is engaging, and no one's even taught or learning, trying to understand how to engage. Yeah. And so I feel like, and this is just, I mean, Fourth is a home for artists. And so I think you do a good job of that. Like, you'll engage people who might be different than where you're coming from. What?
That's a compliment?
Sure. You gotta stop doing that,
man. I'm sorry. I just stopped that.
What he doesn't realize, Dan, is like, I literally, I'm low key, very low key pattern. My steps after kind of how he does what he does.
Okay. I sense that you love him. I want do. You to know that.
I love show. Like, I do. Like, a part of my artist. He don't, like, you're the reason why I do comedy the way I do comedy. I've told people this all the time.
Yes.
I would be in some church right now telling pastors talk too long jokes and ain't the spaghetti dinner weird jokes, right? I would be doing that. But before I started comedy, show was like, do not do Christian comedy, right? And I don't know
praise
if you meant
Lord
it. And
that.
I
don't know.
No,
if
I do remember. And every time he tell the story, I acknowledge yes.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you heeded that information.
No, but what I'm saying is
and
I
wanted to make a Christian hip hop site, and show said don't do that too.
Oh, I'm so that was okay because before when I said that,
when I say it's okay, when you say it, it hurts my feelings.
What I'm saying, I don't know if you told me that because you just didn't want me to do Christian comment, or you thought like the way I interpreted it was you can engage more people.
Absolutely.
Being a Christian
it's
who
in,
does
it's,
comedy.
Yeah.
Everywhere than
it's
just
in,
limiting
it's in the
yourself,
answer, yeah.
Right? And so I'm saying is like, yeah, I pattern a lot of like artistic.
But anyway, go this good. Move on to your point. Your point.
I forgot I was going, man. You got me sidetracked. I guess
you said that you. I do a good job of engaging.
You
were saying
something. You do a good job, and I think that's a problem in society. No one tries to engage. So I don't know about you, but like personally, this year I've already taken certain gigs that like. I probably don't have to do.
Yeah.
But I'm like, there might be people in a room who don't want to hear what I have to say.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, good. Now
that's,
now the work.
That's
you know what I mean?
That's real. And so that's the reason why I take certain shows. The thing that frustrates me about Christian hip hop. No. The thing that frustrates me about artists who don't want to be associated with Christian hip hop is that they claim that they're not Christian hip hop artists, right? Mm-hmm. But then they do these tours
with all, yeah,
with like, and I'm just like, yeah. Don't get mad when people call you a Christian hip hop artist right. When you do a tour with a whole bunch of Christian
bands
at
a
like,
church
like, called Winter Jam with Mike Powell.
Exactly right. That's
very specific. I don't know what that is, but I don't know you.
But yeah, like we got a lot of friends who do well. Friends, you guys, associates of artists you may know of that are doing Winter Jam, and these are the very same people who have. Are complaining that they're being associated with Christian music. And I'm like, you can't do that.
You can be an artist like anybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I'm saying people don't think that way.
So for me, it's like, look, I know people are going to associate me with Christian artists. I'm not going to sit there and fight that label. Mm-hmm. But what I am going to fight is what I communicate at these events. So if you're going to invite me to an event,
yeah,
I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to do my hood USA.
Yeah.
I'm going to do maybe both. I'm going to talk about your binaries.
Yeah.
I'm going to challenge them. And then at the end of the day, call me a Christian artist. I don't care. But guess what? I've said the things that I wanted to say, and I said them how I wanted to say them.
Well, and what's so funny about that like argument, right, is like Chance puts How Great Has Our God on his album, and he doesn't have like, and you call him a Christian hip hop artist, he'll smile at you and keep on moving. You know what? Because he's like, look,
but he also has freedom. He has the liberty to cuss all on his album too.
So does everyone?
We do, but. That's the difference.
If
I was actually kind of dissonant. I said that I was disappointed you didn't cuss at my show the other day.
I didn't need to.
Like, you didn't, and it was excellent.
Yeah.
But I was hoping that you did it. And then it was weird, and for those people who are listening, and maybe, why would you? Because I do think there's a bit of Christianity that we hold an idol to this idea of language. It's a literal idol in our culture, and
I think it
makes us more Christian, and I wanted people to feel this.
Had you instructed me to, I would have done it.
I did anyway, so we're not going to spend too much time on
it. You
didn't
say it.
I
said, do you.
My mind was blown one time. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
My mind was blown one time when I was in Scotland, and I listened to someone share the gospel and use the F word.
at
the same time.
Paul Tripp has one of the best sermons on and he's the most conservative of conservative pastors. But anyway, The only reason why I'm not tripping because Kareem, my boy Kareem Manuel, who was the MC and a host, he made the most awkward moment. So I would say there was about, I don't know how many white people were in the building, but it definitely wasn't a majority of white people in the building. But for some reason, the first couple sets, there was the white people in the very front. Like, they were in the front row. It was just white.
Yeah.
And my boy was like, yo, we got to change this. And he literally got up on stage and was like, yo, we got a very diverse room in the building. It's, you know, majority black. We want to show that by having some of the black people up in the front. So
what?
You didn't hear that?
I missed that.
No, so
I
was, you obviously.
I missed it too.
No, yeah. I was in back focus, bro. I knew what I was following. I was not.
I blocked that out of my memory.
I think this was after your set. So this is why I know that you weren't there.
I was.
You
left. This is after this. That was it. Go ahead, though.
So anyway.
I don't remember it either.
We walked off stage. I was like, Kareem, bro, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
He was like, oh man, I thought you wanted me to get black people in the front. I was like, I do, but I didn't want you to tell white folks that.
Y'all gotta move. Y'all gotta move. Yeah, like
Rosa Parkland, folks. Anyway, that was hilarious. He had a very interesting moment right there.
You know what else was hilarious this past week?
What was that?
Mariah Carey's performance.
I wish I would have saw that, man. I didn't see it.
Oh, it wasn't a performance.
It was the most awkward thing I have ever seen.
Like, I heard she was a little lit, though, too. Like, not lit in the 2016.
No.
But how we used to say lit, like 2014. Like,
yeah.
How do we say? I wasn't clued into 2014.
Sauce. Oh. She was a little sauced up.
Yeah.
That's what I was. Okay, that's how I say it in 2016 as well.
Oh, okay. No, lit can be both. Like,
it's adjacent for sure, right?
But more like, so you say lit to most folks, they thinking like, that joint was turned up.
Yeah. You just say
no,
turned
I'm just
up.
Like y'all drunk.
Yeah. I like that definition better.
Yeah.
Regardless, it was like, if there was ever, like, I typically ascribe to like live performances that go bad, like they go bad. It's a live performance. Like, it's a bad look, but like, it's never going to destroy your career. This may have like be the death toll to Mariah Carey. Plus, she's about to tour with Lionel Richie. So the combination of the two is like watching, like, it's like watching Emmitt Smith play for the Cardinals.
That was bad too. I remember when he played for the Cardinals. I was like, this is,
go home, Emmitt.
I was like, yo,
you don't need this.
You going for that rushing record. You don't need it, bro.
Yeah.
And when I heard she was touring with Lionel Richie, I was like, oh, it's night night for her. She's done. I was like, Lionel Richie?
I didn't know she thought it was night night. That's, because when you sign up to be with Lionel Richie, you're like, this is it. This is what I got on the plate. Like, you know what I mean? I thought of her, like, she, because you still think diva.
Yeah.
Right? So in my mind, she's like, I can see her saying, Lionel Richie.
Exactly.
I can't get Drake. You know what I mean?
That's what I expect of her.
Yeah.
Or John Legend. You're like, I'm a tour of John Legend. Maybe I open up for John
Someone
Legend.
Someone that's had an album in the last.
Lionel Richie.
Who I'm okay with.
Because he went to Tuskegee. That's the only reason why I'm okay. Because he's a Tuskegee legend.
Okay.
And yes. But
like Mariah, 20 years ago, Lionel Richie, like, on, all right, cool. Know, like, Diana Ross, Lionel Richie, like, fine. But
Mariah. I heard people talk about it in the sense that, like, it was, like, so bad.
Apparently,
like,
it was sabotaged, though.
The Russians.
The Russians hacked the sound system. Russians probably hacked the sound system.
Shout out to Russians at the best 2016.
They did.
They killing it right now.
Russians had the, no, I heard it was hacked. I think she handled it the way you're supposed to handle it.
No.
What you mean?
I know you messed up my sound. I've worked on a Mariah Carey show.
Okay.
Can we reenact this for me and people who didn't get to experience this live? So, like.
Okay, so basically what happens is she walks out on, like, she comes on stage. The ball is, like, getting ready to drop. Like, her show will end and the ball will, like, hit zero, basically. Okay. So she's basically counting down the ball. So she's going to be doing, like, three songs. She, like, comes out and like, comes down the stairs with these very awkward dancers. And you can tell, like, immediately that there's something wrong because she starts reaching for her ears that she doesn't have in.
Yeah.
And like her hair is so big that she can't find her ears anywhere.
You should have had those in before you got on stage. Sorry.
I thought she used to hold it. What, she stopped holding it? Y'all know she put them index finger in the air. That's on you.
So that's depending on if she has two ears and one ear in. Sometimes
What ended up happening is she was gonna lip sync everything.
Okay.
But the first song they played an instrument, like the performance instrumental track, and apparently Mariah Carey can't sing anymore. Because she didn't even begin to try. Like, she, like, would do one or two words, like, didn't know the words of the song, like, literally put the mic in the audience and was like, y'all can do it. Like, oof. And she just walked back and forth on the stage, like, I don't know what's happening. I'll I guess I'll keep walking, like saying these saying things.
That. Oh wow,
that's not good show business.
No, it's not.
So then it's over. She's like, "That was the worst. Like literally, that's the worst thing that ever happened. I can't believe." And then like goes on to the second song. Well, the second song, she still can't find her ears, so she can't. There's a delay, like you're talking about at your show, but because she's lip syncing everything, she can't even cover that up, and so she's not synced up with her lip sync. So she's like a second delayed for all of the words.
Ooh.
And so it just was like, it just got worse. And it was just like nails on a chalkboard. It was like, I can't watch this. I'm uncomfortable. Was it as bad?
So I don't know if you follow Whitney towards the end of her life when Whitney was trying to do that little tour.
Oh man.
And every time she tried to sing, "I Will Always Love You."
Yeah.
It was just like I remember watching clips of that and be like, "Oh, stop Whitney. Stop. Just."
She didn't even get it out loud enough. From what I saw, she didn't get it loud enough to have that "don't do it." She just kind of was like, "I'm not really about to sing."
No, yeah.
Yeah. So like, I had a tour to fake. So y'all gonna believe that I can sing. I'm not gonna put out like, no.
Oh my God. But you also gotta remember, it was freezing out there too.
It was freezing. But I know what everyone knows about Mariah Carey. Jimmy Kimmel talked about it with Ryan Seacrest like literally like 2 days before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
That she is like the latest artist ever. Like, doesn't show up for rehearsals, like shows up hours like you've heard recently, like she showed up 2 hours late to her concert, like making her fans wait 2 hours to watch Kanye? Perform.
Yeah.
Like
Lauryn Hill could do that, and that's once. And after that, I'm not coming to another show, Lauren. Sorry.
Nah.
So what I think happened is she didn't show up to rehearsal. They didn't know what to play because there wasn't a rehearsal.
Yeah.
They played it. And
but that's when you got them assistance. I'm sure she paying them assistance to handle that business. Somebody should have said, "Look, don't play the instrumental.
Yeah.
Play the
track. She's not going to sing.
Performance track. We're going to do a TV track. Play that TV track."
Mm-hmm.
And you get out there. But there's a lot of rappers who perform to their lyrics too as well. So that's a no-no. First of all, you artists out there?
I just
no-no.
She need more dancers. Every time this happened to her, she up there kind of by herself. It's like if you had dancers, like a lot, like you need to put a lot of dance, like at least 10 dancers.
Yeah.
So that way you could just like slide your way out and just like check this dance out. And then
but that's not the show it. You.
But it looks better.
Apparently she was drunk. That's what people could say. That has to be the because this is one of the biggest platforms of the year.
Everyone's watching.
It's almost like the Super Bowl. You can't go out there unprepared. So that, to me, I'm blaming it on alcohol.
I'm blaming this on Mariah. you know better. You know, so too many albums, I did too many shows.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she has to know better.
The best part was the dancers, you could tell they're like, "This isn't going to get pinned on us," because they kept doing the entire routine.
They were going hard. They was like
they were moving her around. Like, "You're supposed to be here right now because we're going to do this right here."
They were moving her around.
It was a dude. Then one dude dipped her. Like, he was like, "I'm going to do my part."
Yeah.
So what you're not going to do.
Yes.
You're going to get this dip, right?
While she's not singing.
Yeah, while she's not singing. He's like, "Look, I'm working for the next chick. You ain't going to sit up here and disrespect me.
Disrespect
you. You ain't going to sing.
I'm doing this.
I got a craft to perfect."
He said, "Look,
working for the next chick.
This is my tape. Somebody going to see this tape." Like, "That brother right there.
Brother, he got hard. He got hard.
Get him. I don't know his name. What's his name? Pedro? Get him.
Get Pedro." Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my Lord.
It was sad.
Oh, Mariah, I don't know what to tell you.
So have you ever been on stage and you're like, "I want to be off this stage"?
Absolutely.
Right now?
Yes. Absolutely. Many a days I perform, and sometimes it could be assumed as a good show, but it's just like I've done a show where the crowd is hype, but they're not hype because of me. They're hype just because it's just like
the environment.
They've never gotten out the house before.
Oh boy.
And they're so excited. And it's just like, "I'm doing a slow song right now. Why are you guys jumping up and down?"
No.
He's like, "You know what? I can say whatever I want right now. You guys go like, yeah."
Oh,
it's like I'm done. So that's part of the reason why I wanted to stop doing youth group shows, because youth groups are the worst, bro. I mean, they're great because they usually pay well.
I gotta say, y'all youth groups want
and
a comedy
you sell
show.
Merch and you do a lot of merch.
Yeah.
But if you're like an artist who really cares about the integrity of your like show and your set, it's like it's so rough because it's like you're either dancing between the crowds who are overdoing it,
mm-hmm.
or you're feeling like I'm working too hard to make y'all understand what the hell I'm talking about right now. It's like I don't feel like doing this right now. I'm sick of it. I don't want to have to.
I'm trying to think of a time I didn't want to be. I know when I taped that thing for Fuse, I definitely forgot my joke while I was on stage. And I that's why I love editing. This is why 2016 was bad for editing, but it also saved me. Because okay. I definitely was like in the middle of a joke, and it felt like I was reading a prompter, and all of a sudden it went blank. And they asked me that I want a prompter. I was like, I don't need no prompter. I never had a prompter.
Yeah.
As soon as I had, like, I was saying the words of a joke, and I knew in my head, like, I'm about to forget what I'm about to say. Right? On TV, like, it's taping. There are people there. And I straight up, I was just like, dang. And I go, well, rewind. And I go, I literally said rewind. And then I go, like, I did that. And then people were looking around. And then I like remembered it real quick. But it was like a good, like, I don't know, like 20, like not even like 15 seconds where I was just like, man. And they told us, like, hey, if you don't know, pause, find your place and keep going. Yeah. And I was like, oh, y'all got work to do, edit. I'm gonna make y'all earn it. Cause right now your boy forgot exactly what he was doing. But I don't think, like, and even it ended up well, but like I was like, one time I was like, oh man, this is like not right in my head. I was like, not right now, not when the
not right now,
this is money TV, on the line, baby. Like, come on now.
Nah, yeah, I've had shows where I've had rough shows too, where it's like the audience wasn't feeling me kind of shows. Like, I've had those too, and those are not fun.
No,
you like, you working hard, you giving it all you got, and they're just like, yeah, I mean, cool, but we're really here for the dudes coming after you.
See, this is good. I want to ask you, so because comedians always, we always have this great with like musicians and artists like that. We'll talk about like if it don't go good, like y'all got an out, like where it's like either you can like let the band play or something, or you can just get people hype,
whatever.
Is that a thing? Like, is that,
you can, but this is the thing, like. So if you're not, it depends on what type of artist you are too. So that's the reason why I want a band, because of that. Like,
yeah.
I can freestyle. I can improvise. If I'm like feeling like halfway through this song, I'm like, yo, this song is not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's switch it up. You know what I'm saying? Get a signal. Let's go. Boom. Eh. And I've done that many a times where you just switch out a song and you do something else. The thing that I can't necessarily do is like go to hype, because I'm not hype. Dude, yeah, I'm not like, yo, get your hands up. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Because the worst thing to do is to be like, yo, get your hands in there. And then everybody's
and
looking at you
like,
I'm
not right.
No.
You didn't probably warm us up for that.
Like, as,
no, as I'm not stretched.
Exactly. It's like, I'm not ready.
These
for
are
that.
My hype shoes. No,
exactly.
Thank you.
But I tell you what usually gets people, and it's hit or miss. And I've usually hit most times. I don't think I've actually missed, but acapellas. Like, if you do a dope acapella for a crowd, they'll be like, okay.
That is, they be like, think
okay,
about that. Okay.
You got me. I got your attention. And then the next song
better be
the one. It better be, because if you go acapella and it's dope and you go lame song, it's like, oh, you lost this, bro. Yeah. You had us, but you lost us. And so that's why I always try to have a fresh acapella that I can do or write a verse that you just use for those purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta know your crowd.
Rappers.
Yeah, you gotta know your crowd too.
Yeah.
You gotta, because this is the thing. Like, sometimes people say like 30 minutes, and you're like, yo, sometimes I got up on the show and I do a good 15 and I know the crowd. I'm like, these next three songs I got, they not gonna like these songs.
Mm.
So it's like, how am I gonna make this work? It's like, how am I gonna make this work? It's either you tough through those three songs, and I've done that where you tough through and you like, yo, I just lost them.
Yeah,
these three, I lost the crowd,
dang.
And you just like, but that's all I got. I don't, and it's lame to me to do, like, I've been to concerts where I've seen people do other people's songs.
I'm gonna say that's the out.
That is an out. That's lame to me. Like, I can't do
that.
I'll do other people's songs if I like, in a sense that I'll like switch the beat up, like. I'll be rapping to my song and then switch the beat up to another song, but I'm still rapping my verse.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the furthest I'll go. Maybe incorporate the hook a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm not about to do somebody's. People do that. Like, they just, or they just turn their set into like a DJ. They just become a DJ. You know what that means? Like, where they just become like, they'll switch and they'll be like, get the crowd hype and do it, you know, but they don't ever really perform their song.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't respect that either. Like, I'm like, you know.
I got you.
But so anyway, there's been moments where I wish I had I could think of one in particular where I've been on stage. Now, I remember preaching at an African church, a church in South Africa, where I just knew I was going to kill it. I was like prepared. I was like, yo, this is going to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And for like an hour, they were looking at me like, when are you going to get off the stage? And the problem was that I realized that the English, though it was good, they can understand it. The way that I talk when I get excited, I talk a little fast. And points toward
room,
hidden.
So it's a room. it's a room full of polite people.
Exactly.
Just like,
and yes. You know it's bad when after you're done, like usually in church or especially in black church, like you get done or really any kind of church, you get done. People come up to you like, yo, that blessed me.
Yeah.
That was good. And this is a big church too.
Mm-hmm.
I got done. One person walked up to me.
Oh.
And she was like, thank you for that. She was like, and the way she said it was even like almost like, yo.
I'm the representative for everybody here. Because they told me to tell you.
It was almost in a way, it was like, thank you for that Bible study.
Yeah, oh boy.
It wasn't even like the because it's like you taught us some things, but yeah. It didn't connect with our hearts.
Yo,
at all.
Shout out, listen, people need to know, just don't, maybe it's, all right, it's different in church. Somebody got to say something. But I'll say this, a comedy, don't come up to me afterward. Do never say this to somebody. I thought you were funny. Do not say that to me. Because if you're the only, don't be like, well, I've had that early on, like, well, I thought you were funny. Well, I was like, well, tell everybody else. Tell everybody else. Like, I don't need your sympathy.
In the middle of my set, you say, yo, we should be laughing at this.
Yes, yeah, I need you to start a riot. Just be like, hey, y'all need to get on. This dude is funny. Like, I hate it when people come like, well, I thought you were funny. It's like, what are you telling me? You're acknowledging that I bombed.
Yeah.
But you're saying, but I was with you.
Yeah.
No, you can jump
on the ship. This is a different thing about comedy, though, too. See, with comedy, there is a metric to if you're good or not. It's the laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Music is a little different. So I did 3 concerts this past week, mm-hmm. and it's literally 3 different responses.
Mm.
The first concert was, and I do think racial demographic plays into this. The first concert was black college students.
Mm-hmm.
And I got everywhere from like the hip hop, like, yeah. yo, like, oh, snap, you hear that?
Yeah.
To like the dancing. We did a Soul Train line.
Okay.
Dug it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I did a white college. I got everything from like the frat boys like passing people through the crowd.
Okay.
Being excited over parts. I was like, you don't even know what the heck I'm talking about right now, but you're excited.
Yeah.
Dig it. To people.
Cultural appropriation on full display.
To people on some part of the side, like they were listening, but they weren't like hands in the air. So it was like, yeah. Then I did like a black church. That was like, 20s, but it was a big, big black church, 20 mm-hmm. to like 50, 60.
Okay.
Now that was probably the hardest of the 3. And I felt like I had to work the hardest because at the end of it, everybody was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But if you were on stage looking at the audience,
I hate that. Oh, my
goodness. Would think that I was like, yo, am I doing anything right now?
Yo,
just that is statues.
But
I hate listening people.
Exactly. And so that's so that was the metric. It's like, yo, you got to, it's different music because some people, this is the first time hearing your music. So they actually
are
listening.
They have to process it. Yeah,
they're listening like, ooh, that was good. Oh, so I did like My Hood USA. And at the end of it, they were like, they clapped their head off.
Wow.
But during the song, they were just like, you could just see people looking at me. People mm-hmm. weren't really bobbing. There were no hands. There were the groups of people who were fans. Like, say if it was about 1,000 people in the church,
mm-hmm.
I would say it was about 100 people who were fans, like mm-hmm. legitimate fans. The other people were people who just may have liked hip hop. Some people don't like hip hop at all. But they were like, yo, this is dope. And at the end of it, yo, it was crazy, the response. But while on stage,
that was rough. That is the worst feeling.
It was rough. And you could be insecure, and you could tell an insecure artist because they usually go to like, yo, make some noise if you...
Oh, yeah.
Or like, yo, y'all...
You do that with a comedian, too, though. They were like, clap it up if you...
yeah, exactly.
Where are my ladies at?
And
where
I got to fight. Yeah. So I got to fight against that because that's my old default, especially in Christian hip-hop. It's like, yo, say, make some noise for Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not make noise. You make some noise for you.
Yeah, for me. I need this right now.
I need somebody insecurities. I need to make sure that y'all love me.
Yeah.
So I try not to do that no more. I don't go to the line.
When people do that, I'm done. When you say that, I'm like, nope, I'm done.
Yeah. If it's a natural, make some noise. Like if you like you doing something and you rap it, over here, make noise. Over here, yeah. But if it's just like you in the middle, you get done. Just like yo, make some noise. Yeah. Like,
nah, I'm done.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna say I don't do it. I like to think that I didn't do it this past week, but I'm sure I probably did.
Yeah.
But I try not to because I do think that is a sense of you trying to like get the crowd in a place that. Like, you're forcing it. I don't want to force anybody to go to a place. You know what I'm saying?
No, they'll do that in comedy where it's like the dude. It's funny too. Like I'm not that. Like I'm very laid back. My comedy's laid back. So like, but you'll see comedians get on stage and they'll be like, they'll say something along the lines of like, y'all quiet. Like, I just had a baby. And people are like, oh, okay. And they're like, I can't get a clap for that. And I'm like, where the joke at though? Like, we clap for jokes or whatever, you know? I hate it when I hear a comedian say, I can't get on, y'all can't make some noise for that, right? Yeah. I'm like, nah, bro, they wait on the joke because you're a comedian. And you're supposed to make them laugh.
Some of my favorite comedians are the comedians who are comfortable with, like, it's easier for me to describe it in a sense. Like, I'm not a fan of the comedian who's like the antics, who's over the top.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there's some good comedians like that. I can't think of one that I really love like that. But the guys that I love, and I think the thing that I've noticed about you is you're cool with, like, throwing that joke out there and just letting it sit for a second, let people just laugh. Like, Dave Chappelle was excellent at that. Like, he just make a statement, and it's just cool. We're just going to sit in silence.
I know this was funny.
I know exactly. Yeah, he believed in it.
And I'm going to sit there, and, you know, we go to it. I'm going to move on. And I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to overact it. I'm not going to overdo it. I'm not going to, like, you know, go over the top. Like, you know, something. You know, it's like, okay, calm down, bro.
I will say this. Sometimes you need that. It don't work every. You can't be cool, calm everywhere.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But I'm saying, but if it's your personality, stick to your personality.
Sometimes you don't want your personality.
I get that.
Because you'll be on. Man, this happened last year. I did a friend of Corwin. I did his show.
Uh-huh.
It was after I had done TV. Like, I was like,
Corwin Oglesby?
Yeah.
Okay. And you did the
the Conyers joint?
The Hallelujah joint?
No. No, this Conyers. Was at a bar.
What?
Bruh.
Okay.
And it was me and another comedian who was on the Kevin Hart show, Mario Torre. He closed it out. And he was like,
Mario's hilarious.
Hilarious, right? Yeah. But Corin goes, all right, man, go up there and do 20 minutes, whatever. And I was like, man, I'm hot off teeth. Like, I got this. Bruh. I knew, like, and it was all black audience. They was probably, I think I was probably the youngest person there, though.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? So it was like 35, probably.
Yeah.
And it was a Friday. You know what I mean? People dressed.
They got babysitters for this.
Right. And then my young face come over there, and I want to talk about racism and classism and, you know, all that. And they was just like, well.
My racism good right
now. Yeah. And you know, I even, like, tailored, but I was like, all right, I realize I'm going to do a little different.
Yeah.
But it was a moment when I watched Mario go after and destroy, I was like, I probably should have yelled. Like, I probably should have, like, yelled a little bit.
But that's why you got to know your audience. Like, I'm not going to do a show at a spot where it's like, if I know, like, the hustlers, like the Meek Mills, the Rick Rosses, this is a spot where they always go and they kill it. They don't want your maraca. If I go there and I try to do, like, my little set with a band.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, like, no.
But the fighter in me is like, I'm going to get them.
Nah.
Like, I can't. Like, I'll do stuff like that. Nah. I'm like, yo.
No, you're like, hey, bro. You know your shot. You see, shoot your shot.
But I'm shooting it.
There's certain places, don't shoot that shot.
Man. Because in my head, I'm like, I can make this work here. I have to learn how to make this work here.
But know your tribe, bro. Know your tribe is what I'm saying. And so that's somebody else's tribe. You may still want or two.
Yeah.
But don't build a home.
I'm not standing. No.
Don't try to build your village.
What I'm trying to say, I won't turn these things down, but I know this ain't where my bread is buttered.
Absolutely.
I made that very, I was like, this is not where my bread is buttered.
I'm about to do a show next month that I told myself I wouldn't do. It's the youth group. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
One, because they're going to pay me well.
Yes.
Two is because the dudes, like, they really need to hear what you have to say.
Where is that?
It's going to be here in Atlanta.
Yo, you need an opener?
This is a youth group.
So. I know. Can I make this public? I want to do the shows that people are like, these are too church. Like, I want to do.
If it was an adult show, I would bring you. But this is a youth group.
The youth need to be woken up, man.
They do, but
who gonna wake them up?
Me when I get on stage and I say,
I ain't trying to mess up your money. I get it, but I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying. Like, there would be a fit that I would want you. Like, if. Anytime there's a show baraka event, you are the dude that I'm trying to bring you to open up.
And, yeah.
But this kind of, nah.
See,
but the event that show's not going to tweet out before he goes to the show to say, hey, come up.
Definitely not. That's definitely not getting a tweet.
Yeah. I want in on these spaces where it's just like, this is going to be different. Like, I want in on that. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see what works. That's just the weird, like, competitor.
I'm going to try to do something like that. I'm going to try to do something. You know what? There may be a large church in Atlanta that's trying to get me to do something. I may bring you out for that.
Bruh, I'm out here. I'm just trying to shake.
Yeah.
I like, because I'm like,
they have multiple churches.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. I just, I like being, you know what I mean? Like, I like, because you can kind of get away with a lot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I can say a lot. But in my head, I'm like, these are the people that need it. Oh, you know totally. What I mean? Like, these are the people, like, I don't
they
know.
They do need it. They do yeah. need it.
Yeah. They ain't gonna pay for it, but once, because that's what I realized. They were like, "Man, that was you blessed people, but
oh, that was good.
But
that
never
was nice.
Ever
like
come
that.
Back on this yeah. property." And I'm like, ah, you know,
it was fun.
Yeah,
it was,
that's what I was like, man. You know, you truly blessed some people.
As long as you kill it one time. So the whole thing with Prop and I, so like the little spotlight tour we did, where we just went around talking, which I totally underestimated. I didn't think anybody would pay to hear us talk.
Okay,
which the response and feedback has been amazing.
Okay.
But I treated that like, look, I'm gonna get invited. First of all, we set it up, so it wasn't necessarily where we were invited somewhere. It was our own little tour.
Yeah.
But I treated that like, as we gonna have one time to talk to people and tell them what we really think, and hopefully they get it. And funny thing about God's grace, bro, like, people have been responsive in a sense, like, yo, this is great. We want to bring you to another church that really, really, really needs to hear this. And I'm like, word?
Like, yeah.
Like, professors at universities have been like, yo, that has been mind-blowing. Like, it's crazy some of the responses we begin. I'm like, really?
But that's because you jumped out of the lane that you thought.
Absolutely. I was so done with that lane, bro. I was so done with that lane. I've been done with that for a while. It was just about getting my mind right to be healthy in this particular lane.
I got
lane.
You.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know, Dave Perdue, personally, I'm trying to see about all these lanes. And then I'm trying to shake things up, man.
Do it, bro.
It's gonna be good.
Hey, can I talk about something that's totally unrelated, that has nothing to do with what we just talked about? And I know Dan's gonna have an opinion on this.
Yeah.
But I'm not an aficionado on this issue, but I feel like my opinion matters.
Okay.
And I don't know if you guys had a chance to talk about it, because maybe you didn't, but the new Star Wars movie, bro. It's probably one of the best Star Wars movies ever.
It's the second best Star Wars movie ever.
Okay. There we go. As long as we agree on that. That joint was another. Did you see it? You didn't see
it. We talked about this on another off the record. I've never seen Star Wars, any of
it. I
think
we talked about it before it came out, because we couldn't have talked
about it.
You've
never seen one Star Wars at all?
No. We talked about the fact that I'd never seen that.
Oh,
because I remember saying Star Wars. Because I remember saying y'all tried to make me name.
I'm not talking about Star Trek. I'm talking about Star
Wars. I know exactly what you're talking about. I said I couldn't.
We did have this
conversation. I couldn't even name you 10 characters.
10 is a lot. I don't know. I can name Tucker. But what I'm saying is, I do remember this conversation.
Yeah, man. I've never seen. That's why I got real. Like, I started looking around. I was like,
we need to figure out how we can get. We need to break this. We need to break this.
I'm not one of those people that, like, I'll never watch it. But I'm just like, I don't know, man.
The old one's a little corny now, as you look back, because.
But I can't compare it to nothing. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, I'm.
Yeah, you can compare it to something. You can compare it to anything.
But
that's
honestly, okay. you could watch Rogue One. As the first Star Wars movie you ever watch.
Yep.
And then go Rogue One, and then 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, don't watch 1, 2, 3.
I gotta watch it the way they came out. You know, the reason why
they came out, or the way that they're supposed to be.
No, the way they came out. The reason why I say that is because culturally, I'll know things. Like, if I watch Rogue One, I'm like, where's Luke? Where's this person? You know what I mean? Because culturally, I know certain characters.
I get it.
So it's like, I need to be introduced to them the way they came out.
But, so the spoiler, if you haven't seen it, you should skip to the end, because we have an announcement. But the last scene where Darth Vader just goes, like, absolutely just.
So let me tell you something, bro. Uh-oh. That mess. Like, I was, first of all, the movie was already excellent.
Oh, it was amazing.
It was amazing going into the last 10 minutes of the movie. But then Darth Vader showed up. I was like, they're giving us this treat as well?
Okay. Oh, so you think the movie is like over
when
the light hits the two main characters and they die. And you're like, okay, movie over. Like, I guess, like, they sent the message.
Absolutely.
And that's how they're going to start New Hope, right? Because that's how it does start. It's on this ship where Leia has the message.
Absolutely.
And then there's, like, more. And I literally, like, went to my wife, like, this is about to be amazing. Because they're about to do something that I don't expect them to do.
Exactly.
And then it's like, yeah, they, like, get the message. They hand it off. And I was like, oh, shit. They're going to literally go, like, scene for scene with New Hope.
Yes.
Which Darth Vader is on the ship with Leia, like, is coming to get Leia in New Hope. And I was like, we're going to get to see Darth Vader again. And then when you see him,
oh my
and
gosh.
He just like Bruce Lee's, everyone in the room.
He's on a 10, bro.
And I was just like,
he's on a 10. He shows his ass. It was dope.
I'm interested now.
No, it was dope. It was dope.
I'm gonna be honest, I've never really, really been interested, but just the idea of like a...
No, I'm gonna tell you a reason why. This is a couple of reasons why I know you would like this film.
Okay.
One, it's white men are taking an L.
Already on board.
And it's funny, I was watching the movie and I texted my boy Adam. I was like, yo, is it just me or does everybody hate white men all of a sudden? Like, like, was there like an agreement? Was there a collective? It was like, yo, there's going to be no redeemable white men in the film anywhere.
Okay.
I was like, yo, this is deep. All the heroes are like Mid-Eastern.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Are like Hispanic men.
White women. White women. Girl.
Okay.
So the second reason why is because women, it's like for feminism on a 10.
Nice.
And I know you and Adon are like...
We enjoy women.
Well,
we respect
you on a whole
nother
level. Okay, yeah.
There's a lot of work to do. Go ahead.
I forgot the third reason why I thought you would like it. But those two reasons right there.
I'm bored. I'm on board.
Yo, dope. Oh, the third reason is that, well, he already hit to it.
Sorry.
I don't know if you caught it or not. But the main protagonists, they die at the end. Like, the heroes die at the end, which is like, that's unheard of.
That's not how stuff's supposed to go.
So it's dope. It's like
the writing was just genius.
It was genius, okay. And I was like, as I watched it, I was like, "Yo, this is a really, really good movie." Yeah. I was like, I walked into it with low expectations, but I was like, "Yo, this is really dope.
Okay,
this is really good."
The only criticism I heard was that they like felt like they didn't go deep enough with the characters. I was like, "You just didn't pay attention."
Yeah,
like it's subtle. It's like, it has nuance to it. Mm. But the genius in the writing is there, and it is nuanced. And if you do pay attention, man, it is one of the best movies I've seen in a real long time.
Yeah,
and
it
stands up, like other than Empire. Empire is the greatest Star Wars movie. Empire Strikes Back.
I'm not gonna disagree with it. Yeah.
Rogue One is the second best Star Wars movie.
That was dope. So yeah,
right, I gotta go watch.
Get that. And I would also say that just to help you to put this argument to bed. My Christmas break, I got to spend a lot of time with Netflix, and so I did finish finally Luke Cage.
Okay.
Luke Cage.
I've been Sherlock for like the 15th time instead of watching Luke Cage.
So. You probably made the right decision. That's what I'm saying. And so I'm not gonna say Luke Cage is terrible. I'm just gonna say that fight scene was trash.
It looked like the fight scene from Meteor Man.
Yo!
It was like the fight scene from Meteor Man.
I was like,
that's the perfect example. Meteor Man.
Yeah.
That's what the whole show is like.
Nah, it was tough.
You're not far off of that. You're not really that far. It's Meteor Man with cussing.
It's Meteor Man cussing.
And there's no green suit.
There's no green suit.
No the funny last blonde
scene,
hair.
The last scene was...
The writing might be better than Meteor Man.
The fighting was trash. Y'all doing too much. The fighting was trash, though. I will say that.
Yo, but that last scene, I was sitting there just like, oh my gosh, are we serious?
It was.
You know, I forgot who told me this. I think it was Kareem. I can't remember who told me. Anyway, I'm not going. Yeah, my man was, I think it was my man Kareem. But he was like, it reminded him of that Key and Peele skit where the Gremlins, have you seen the Gremlins 2 skit? Where they're like, where they sitting around a table and it's just like, people come up with ridiculous ideas. Like, that's in the film.
Oh.
That's it. Like, somebody was sitting around and was like, you know what we could do? We could have a street brawl. It's just like, and like a world star hip hop kind of style.
I was waiting for like one we get like uppercutted over a building and then like flip over and over.
It was so bad,
bro. It was not great.
It was so bad. I was like, oh, this is not helping the cause right now.
Last fight scene, not great. Overall, I enjoyed it.
I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy it. I don't hate my life for watching it.
Yeah.
But it's telling that it took me 2 months to watch 13 episodes.
Is it the best of the Netflix ones? No.
It's not even close to the best. It's not even a top 10. It's not top 20.
There's three or four.
Are you talking about? Oh, they're just talking about Netflix series. I'm talking about original Netflix series.
No, like Marvel joints.
No, it's 3 out of 3. And the only reason why it's 3 out of 3 is because there's no other ones.
It'll be 4 out of 4, and 5 out of 5, and 6 out of 6.
It'll probably be that, unless there's some terrible...
They killed the best bad guy too early.
They did.
They killed the best bad guy.
That's part of what they probably were overthinking it. They were overthinking it. It was like, oh, we're going to twist it and kill the bad guy. No, you should have kept him.
He was the best bad guy.
He was the star of the show.
Yeah.
And he was what kept it going. The other thing is I want... So Misty Knight is actually a superhero.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to see her develop into some sort of. I would have loved to have seen her do a little bit more.
She's next season, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, next season. As if I watch it.
There's a Luke Cage 2?
Yeah.
It broke Netflix. Like, people watched it.
Oh, it killed Netflix. I'm going to tell you why it killed Netflix. Because of the blackness.
It was definitely
because
of the blackness.
But I'm going to tell you what. Another show. So I'm moving over from Netflix to the show that changed my life.
Okay.
The Get Down is really good.
The Get Down.
Shout out to Adon, because he's the one put us on.
Yeah, so that definitely should have got a lot more love than it got.
Did they cancel it?
No, I heard they did a season 2.
What's his name? We got a homeboy. One of my homeboys is going to be in, I think, the next like installment or whatever.
Yeah, I heard they did it. I heard they definitely did a season 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you this. Not only was that show amazing, the last 10 minutes of that joint is why I fell in love with hip hop. And it made me love hip hop even more by watching that last, the little battle scene
I didn't see it.
You ever seen it Get Down?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't watched any of it?
Nah.
Yo, watch it, bro. Right. It's only like 6 seasons too, though. I mean, 6 episodes.
All right, I can
so that's the reason why I was like, yo, it's even better. Luke Cage would have been good if they would have, I think it was like 13 maybe? 8. Give me a good 9. 9 of it, yeah, not, no more than 9. Go a 9,
mm-hmm.
It would have been fresh.
They stressed it.
They definitely stressed it. Because every episode, like after 8 or 9, I was like, I would go to the menu and see how many more I gotta watch. I'm like, I gotta watch 5 more episodes.
They stressed it.
I'm like, oh gosh.
I'll be the first to admit, I'm one of those people, I just bought into Marvel.
Like, I did too, universe, but that lost me. That one, well, it didn't lose me because I'm gonna watch it.
Whenever the next one comes
Iron
out,
Iron Fist, yeah, I'm gonna watch that too.
We all gonna watch it.
I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely gonna watch it.
I bought into it.
I'm just hoping that.
It's like Apple, baby. It might mess up. So what, you didn't like the 6?
When
that's 6S, you can be like, dang, I got to get that 6S.
True.
They know what they're doing.
But they haven't failed much. And I'm not even saying like Luke Cage is a fail. What I'm saying is it just definitely wasn't as
good. There were low points.
It was bad. And I think
the superhero moves are made by the bad guy. He was not all the other bad guys. So Jessica Jones.
That's good. Yeah,
The bad guy was great.
I like that assessment.
Man, it was great. His bad guy was trash. Like, Diamondback was not good.
Now, I would say Daredevil was equally, it was of equal parts. It was good because Daredevil, and it was also good because of Kingpin, the first season. Punisher made the second season.
Yeah.
Punisher and an old girl, Alexa, whatever her name is.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, I would say the bad guys usually, because definitely Jessica Jones, my dude, I forget his name, but he killed it.
He killed it.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
And Cottonmouth, but like your boy Diamondback, like you said.
Yeah, he was like,
the worst.
And he was good until he started getting the suit. Like, he was okay. He was okay.
That suit at the end. Oh, my Jesus.
Yeah.
Why?
I was like, man, that don't even look like a tailored bad guy suit.
Fake. It's a fake Tuskegee Airman outfit he got on, bro. Like, what is happening?
Like, well, you about to fly a plane? You a jet? What are you doing? Get out of here.
So, anyway, that was my... I don't think I watched anything else. I finished the Luke Cage. I watched The Get Down. I went to go see... I still got to see Fences. I'm definitely going to see Fences.
I got to see Fences.
We should all go.
I'm down. Let me know when.
That's the only book I read in college.
I'm saying.
It was a play first, right?
No, it was a play. I read that. Yeah.
It's a play. Yeah, I mean, it's a book. August Wilson. He's pretty interesting. He writes some insane stuff. But I would say that's it. That's my TV. And watch a lot of soccer. Watch my team lose.
Season 4 of Sherlock just came out this past week.
Yeah, I gotta wait to Netflix.
I'll probably wait so I can binge it.
Yeah.
I hate waiting. This is what Netflix has done to people. Is they're like, wait, you're saying I gotta wait every week for a new episode? Like, I can't watch it.
Netflix,
three
that
nights.
Was DVR. That was DVR. I think TiVo and DVR did that before Netflix.
Because I feel still like people had to would, wait.
Yeah, but people would at least DVR them, and then they would have a watch party.
Okay.
Because I remember 24. People used to do that with 24, and I was like, I'm not watching 24. I've held off. I've still held off.
You never seen 24?
Not one episode.
I think I watched the first season.
And this new one, I just don't believe this. I mean,
Dr. Dre?
Yeah, I can't. Dr. Dre's
out here.
I just can't believe it. Yeah. I'm proud that you got a black dude trying to save the world, but you know what?
I'm not buying
that. What, the Soul Survivor one? Is that what you're talking about?
Is there
a new 24?
There's a new 24.
Is there?
And Dr. Dre from NWA, he's the main character.
Yeah.
The guy that played Dr. Dre?
Oh.
Yeah. He's the main guy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, you didn't even pick the fight with Suge Knight, so I don't. You can save my world. You just let Suge Knight punk you. So I mean, granted, that's a lot of people do that, but I'm just saying, like, yo,
I'm not, as if somebody actually tested Suge and now it's like, oh,
oh, what? He was a few one.
That's all it did. It's like one brother, just one crazy brother, yeah, to test you.
Like, hey. And then you're just like, oh, okay.
Well. Oh, this is what we can all do.
Let's everybody do it.
All right. Anyway, so I'm assuming we're probably going to do an inauguration podcast.
For sure.
Probably so. Okay.
Because you're about to have the first black president hand off power to the most racist president.
I like to call
him. I don't know if he's the most racist.
I like to call him. Yeah,
Wilson, that's true. He yeah, held that's it down true.
For the racist.
I like to call him a Nazi approved president.
Nazi approved.
He's a Nazi funny, approved president.
Nazi and Russian approved.
Nazi
that's
approved.
That's hard to do.
Russian approved.
That's hard to do. You get both parties approved.
Klan approved.
WikiLeaks approved.
WikiLeaks, yeah. So, I mean, the trifecta of things that you don't want.
Have you seen this his nominations?
This is
going
to make him the greatest president of all time. It's going to have to. Yeah. That's the way I'm looking at it. It has to be.
So, there is a potential that he could shock the world and literally be the worst but best president.
The reason why is because he has no clue what he's doing. It's almost like a clock being right like two times a day.
Or like a squirrel clock. Finds a nut.
Yeah, yeah, it's just because he's not a real Republican. He's not a true conservative. He is a very weird liberal in a sense. And so there's really like this, like he's all over the place. So the system in a sense, it's not going to make, like, he doesn't have to abide by the system mm-hmm. and the laws and structures in the sense that the games, I'll put more so the games that, and so in some sense, he may do some things that are like, that may jerk or jolt the system in a way that right. it's like, oh, you know what? That actually.
Well, just like the Senate Ethics Committee that right. he's like, hey, I saw y'all do that. That's not cool.
That's not cool.
Like, Donald Trump just told the. That they the weren't being
house.
Ethical.
The majority house, yeah.
Donald Trump is your foil yeah. for being more ethical.
Exactly.
Because it was like, they was like, man, we can run up in here. And they was like, hey, man, what y'all doing? I was like, wait a minute. I thought you was on our team.
I thought you was, oh, man. There was no ethics. Shoot. I thought we could just yeah. do it with it. Oh, no?
It's okay. been fun, y'all. And let us know. Hit us up. What do you want to see Ford do in 2017? We're here for the people. And, yeah, tell your friends about us. Well, tune in. We're going to be honest.
Yeah.
Lights low and the curtains open, and I'm the maestro for this certain moment. Trying to take it sky high, so go alert the stoners. Fear got your guy almost on the verge of blowing it. Bravos, I hear the hand claps, and I know that this here could be my last.